Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Football Podcast, another episode, episode number 96.
Yeah.
Now, we normally do a stat or a fact about the number of the show. Just so it happens, 96 is very prevalent today as we record this on Wednesday lunchtime. I imagine we are the first football podcast to give reaction to the news that's coming out of the government today, and Liverpool as well, where they've been to findings. Obviously, justice for the 96.
Yeah.
We're recording this about 1 o'clock, something like that, yeah. So we've all seen... Cameron's, was it on your floor?
We didn't have it on the TV, but I was following it on the live text.
Pretty much exactly what they were looking for. The first stage of getting what they were after.
Yeah.
Pretty much, isn't it?
Fairly damning report.
Incredibly damning report.
Pretty much everyone hoped it would come out like this and hoped that these statements would be made, but I just, from what David Cameron said, so first of all, he said the families haven't heard the truth and have not found justice. He said the report reveals the shortcomings of the ambulance and emergency services. So one of the big things that they were looking to get was the medical reports that said this cut-off point. Does everyone know about the cut-off point? Which was Popper, I think his name was.
That's right, Stefan Popper.
Yeah, so in the first, they basically brought all that evidence out.
Yeah,
they were campaigning. They were saying that the police statements were changed, which they've been proven that they have as well.
116 of 164 statements.
Not just slightly changed.
Yeah,
as well,
just taking
whole
chunks out.
Yeah. Completely changing the wording of things.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Cameron said he says there was a delay when people were being crushed and killed, which is what they were looking for. He says the report finds flaws in the police operation and new evidence that police carried out checks on those who died in order to impugn their reputations, because that's basically what they were saying, that there was a massive sort of cover up and the police were saying things in order to put the fans at a disadvantage in terms of the way justice was going to look. And then these are the key statements for me. What happened that day was that since that day was wrong. I offer a proper apology to the families of the 96 who died. The two big statements as well. On behalf of the government, I am profoundly sorry.
Yep.
And today's report is black and white. Liverpool fans were not to blame.
It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. And credit has to go to the Labour MP, Andy Burman, who's set up this whole process. I know it's not just him. He's the individual that's getting the most credit. I'm sure there was loads of other people who deserve just as much credit.
I mean, it's incredible how many people are involved and how many people have been campaigning for this.
It's
something that needs to be done, but it's wonderful to see the support.
What they were after was two things, from what I understand it, from what I've read about it. I know quite a lot about it because my dad has always talked to me about it. I was only six when it happened, so I don't remember it happening or whatever. Accountability and justice were the two things they're after.
And the truth.
And it now appears that accountability... Government have taken some of the accountability, and David Cameron said, right, we now realise that the accountability is on police services.
Exactly.
The emergency services to an extent, but the ambulances can get on the pitch because of the police. So
within one ambulance managed to make it to the pitch.
I think it was one
paramedic.
So now, moving forward, it's the justice. Are they going to be able to open up a new inquiry? I would have thought they would. Because of this Popper, the cut-off point, all that evidence was... It's going to be debated
in the Commons next month, I believe, and obviously a lot of it could be put down as perverting the course of justice.
There was a
documentary on Monday night which I tweeted the link to, and I will do again. Hillsborough, the Search for Truth. It's on the ITV player.
Right.
Really, really good. I learned some things that I didn't know about that.
I mean, that's what I was talking to Michael just on the way down. I mean, I said, you were saying you were only 6 years old. Yeah, I was only 4 years old.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I didn't know enough about it. And I've only been recently, mainly this year.
The documentary is really good, but there's also Civilization by Jimmy McGovern, which is really poignant as well.
I mean, all the background I knew is that it was a terrible tragedy, the worst in English football. 96 people died. The blame
96.
Was 96.
Yeah, 94 on a day, and then two subsequently in hospital after.
And it was, the blame was put towards more of the fans, and that the Sun newspaper said something terrible.
So now you know the sort of flesh behind those.
So reading up on everything over the last few weeks, it's just, as I said, it is incredible.
It's crazy. It's
one of those all-encompassing things. I mean, having grown up relatively near Liverpool, my dad's an Evertonian and works in Liverpool. And you still see the effects around the city. So it almost changes. Like, it's similar to the effect the Moors murders almost had in Manchester. Obviously, they're very different things.
So.
but they changed the way people live their lives.
It changed football as well, didn't it, on the wider, because of the Taylor Report. And the big thing for me is the Taylor Report came out, and the Taylor Report is just a quote from the Taylor Report: the main reason for the disaster was the failure of police control.
Yeah.
That was the Taylor Report, which came out in, what, 91?
Yeah.
And still now, it's taken till today for the government and Cameron to actually say, right, what that is the truth.
People still think that the fans had something to do with it.
Well, two of the things that I've seen, and I've just retweeted this from the podcast account as well, about 1 o'clock. Two big things that I've learned from the last week that I didn't know. One of them, Andrew Devine.
The 22-year-old lad.
And credit to the Mirror, there was a report about this about 3 years ago, and I must have missed it. And his name came up, so I did a search and I found the article. He was 22 and he went to the game in the Leopards Lane end. He suffered chest injuries, which meant a loss of blood and loss of oxygen to the brain. And he's been in a coma ever since.
No, in a vegetative state.
He was in a coma. He's now in a vegetative state.
Yeah.
So they think he can communicate with his family via sort of yes and no's, which you can't say.
Yes.
But he can't eat, wheelchair bound. So just another example of a victim. Like it wasn't the 96.
That's it. It's not just
everyone who was there.
There's suicides that have been attributed to it and stuff like that. So that was one of the big things that came for me. And then this, which I only just found out a few minutes ago. Boris Johnson. The fact that you said some people still do think... This is a quote from Boris Johnson in Spectator on the 16th of October 2004.
My ninth birthday.
He's talking about... remember Ken Bigley, was the hostage in Iraq that was beheaded. He's talking about that situation. Just to give you a bit of background, because I'm going to mention Mr. Bigley's name, but that doesn't matter. It's about what he says. The deaths of more than 50 Liverpool supporters at Hillsborough in 1989 was undeniably a greater tragedy than a single death, however horrible, of Ken Bigley. But that is no excuse for Liverpool's failure to acknowledge, even to this day, the part they played in the disaster by drunken fans at the back of the crowd who mindlessly tried to fight their way into the ground that Saturday afternoon. The police have become a convenient scapegoat and the Sun newspaper a whipping boy for daring, albeit in a tasteless fashion, to hint that are the wider causes of the incident.
He had to apologise quite profusely at the time. I can't believe
that those words
was
in 2004.
It's Boris Johnson. People think Boris Johnson is this laughy, funny cartoon.
This is
character.
The person,
he's an ignorant, posh man who knows nothing about the lives of these people. He doesn't deserve to even speak about it.
The girl who tweeted this JPEG image, which I've retweeted from the podcast account, she actually said, "Let's see who thinks he's a lovable oaf now."
And I'm not going to lie, I do, you know. No. But this sort.
He's in a government to get your facts that wrong.
Yeah.
Even the fact that he said 50 Liverpool supporters.
You did actually say 1999 then, Jim. Not
in
89.
To be honest, I'm quite not emotional, but I can't believe that someone in his standing can be that wrong in 2004 to come up, because people still do.
It's not even for him to comment on it. That's the thing that galls me the most. He has no association with these people. He was talking in the aftermath of Ken Bigley being beheaded, and how can he get more tasteless?
Completely unrelated things.
But I remember the tone of the article was quite derogatory. It was about basically Liverpool being on a propensity to self pity.
That's right.
But it's not for him to say, and I'm sorry, if somebody has died, that's the last thing you should be saying.
Exactly.
I suppose it was so easy because back in, the late 80s and stuff, when football hooliganism was at its...
Especially after Heysel.
And that's the other thing.
It's such a great excuse to use because of how prevalent
it was. And Thatcher obviously had her views on football fans.
Exactly.
What's going to be very interesting is, A, if it goes to the High Court again, and B, how you can delve into seeing exactly who was behind it. Because basically, what the fans have always said, and the families have always said, that it was a massive conspiracy by the police, straight afterwards, because Duckenfield, who was in charge that day, he ordered the gate open, gate C,
because
there was loads of problems behind, outside the ground, and so he said, open gate C. And 2 hours after the end of the game was called off, and it was apparent that people were dying, he then said the fans rushed the gate. He came out and said, and they know now that he said, open the gate. Yeah. He was the one that said, open the gate. And straight away, 2-3 hours after, on that Saturday night, he was saying, the fans rushed the gate. Yeah. So that's when it started.
As soon as it went tits up, they thought, right, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
We've clearly
let's blame it.
Such an easy scapegoat, wasn't it?
Oh, and it's such an easy stereotype as well, because it was the Liverpool fans, and there is such a negative view. It's so easy to paint somebody because they're Scouse or because they're Manc or Geordie or Cockney. Easy said, oh, typical.
Exactly.
And it's ridiculous. It's. But I did see Sheffield Wednesday came out and apologised today.
Right. Today is
the first time,
But okay, these apologies are all well and good. It's whether individuals are now going to become accountable.
That's the issue, isn't it? That's
or police or, or what? But
how far can you see this going? I mean, this evidence is clear.
Damning.
Completely damning, and people should be held accountable.
Well, it depends how much the law can hold them into account, because it'll be very easy for people to say that we're acting on the best knowledge of the time, and it's difficult. And it also depends, obviously this was 24 years ago, a lot of these people will have died or will have moved abroad it's difficult.
We'll see. Obviously, we'll keep the information is still coming out at the moment, so we'll keep an eye on it. Maybe touch on it next week, and obviously, as and when they get announced, if there's going to be another call date and what have you, then we'll go forth from there. But all right, let's move on, fellas. Who watched the football last night?
Well, I watched the highlights. I was watching a much better game, actually. Colombia versus Chile. Absolutely brilliant end-to-end stuff.
It was a World Cup qualifier.
World Cup qualifier.
Okay.
4 goals. Colombia went 1-0 down at half-time. Came back to win 3-1 in Chile. Hey. And that's off the back of beating Uruguay 4-0
at home. It's looking quite interesting, actually, the South American group, because Paraguay are bottom
at the
moment. Obviously, they've qualified some of the last 4 World Cups. Colombia back up there. Venezuela even looked like they could get into their first World Cup.
Yeah.
They're the only South American nation never to have qualified. So.
I love the fact
it's
that
the best Venezuelan team ever.
Ever,
actually.
Yeah.
I love the fact that we've completely.
Yeah, I was going to say, did anyone watch the England game? We're now talking about. Jamaica are top of their group.
Yeah, they are. Still top. Kick to beat USA.
I thought Jamaica lost last night to USA. I think they've dropped down to third now, but all on 7 points level.
Would they play USA twice then?
Twice in a row, So they're now third, but everyone's on 7 points apart from, I think, Antigua and Barbuda, who've got zero.
All right.
So that's enough about the international football.
I watched it.
I don't know.
I don't think it was as bad as people say.
First half was good. First half was actually a good performance.
Yeah. Tell you what, I was furious about Jermaine Defoe's goal. I felt so sorry for the poor fella.
I can see why it's disallowed though. He had his arms up.
No.
As much as the player made a meal off it.
He was holding the player off. Yeah, you do that every day in football.
Oh yeah, you do, but it is technically a foul.
The referee.
Unfortunately.
Is it technically a foul?
At the same time though, he was having his shirt pulled and it should have gone to an advantage. So
I think an outrageous decision.
I think who was it? Don't know the Ukrainian.
I couldn't believe he was outside the box.
He
went there about 17 times.
He should have retrospective punishment for that. Because going down, clutching the face when
he touched his chest.
Yeah, exactly.
How can you ever prove it? That's the problem.
It's just it was a shame because it was a.
Did Townsend think it was a penalty? Because obviously I value Townsend's opinion on this. Did he think it was a foul, or did he think the goal should have stood?
No, he didn't. Probably a foul. Then.
Townsend is a fucking twat. I hate him.
Leave it, Jim.
Two things he said last night, which just got to me. The first one was he was complaining. He was saying that Defoe's header back for Cleverley's miss was a rubbish header.
It hit his foot. Do you know? I was looking at that. I watched it a few times, a replay of that header for. And I know that you'll say Jermaine Defoe in the 60-yard box goal scorer, but I think the way he shaped, himself, that he was trying to nod it back.
But he made out that he wasn't a great nod back. I don't think he was saying that he was trying to show. He was saying it's not a great header back by Jermaine Defoe.
What he was saying it was a crap header on goal.
Yeah, he was trying to shoot.
Then he's even more of a moron than I thought.
Yeah, I know.
And then in the second half, when Welbeck dived to try and get a penalty, but as play was going on, before you'd seen the first replay, he was saying, oh, he should have gone down there. I think if he'd gone down, if he hadn't helped. What are you talking about? He went down. How can ITV? They must read, they must have sent him an email. I came close to emailing ITV Sport, tweeting ITV Sport last night, just to tell him that I'm just so angry.
It wasn't a pen.
He
tried to leave his leg hanging out for a little bit.
For some reason, the Ukraine went past him, then the Ukraine player stuck his leg out as well. Didn't hit him, but I was like, why are you sticking your leg out? But fair play to Lampard for stepping up for the pen as well, because there's a bit of pressure on that.
He's exactly the person he wants to be taken.
Well, you say great pen. He always goes to the
keeper. Corner.
It wasn't top corner. It was nowhere near. If the keeper had stood there and put his arm out, he would have got it.
I thought it was top left.
He invariably goes to the keeper's right, but he invariably scores. So you can't argue.
It was a great shot when it in his straight to both of his face as he was about to take the
Hodgson shot was horrible. It was like his sex
just Lampard, he just saw him like puff out like
just before he took
like go on lad,
but just thank god he didn't show Gary Neville's face after the goal with his scorgasms.
It was after Defoe's goal was disallowed. Oliver, it shot to the bench and Hodgson was there. And it obviously Hodgson's jumped up and gone like, yes, go on, get in. And
they've just. Oh, when he swore?
Yeah, no, you've just realised.
It was when Welbeck hit the post.
No.
It was twice.
It was when Defoe scored, he's jumped up and gone like, go on, get in. And then he's realised it's been disallowed. He's gone, fuck off. You just didn't go, fuck.
I bet he didn't swear. But
you're probably right. Oh, fudge.
I do think it's nice that in the space of 4 days, Tom Cleverley's gone from the future of English football
hero to zero.
A complete bastard.
See, the first half, I don't think he had a bad game at all.
No, right. I mean, it was a terrible miss.
And to put it there, it's just beyond excuse.
No.
The one that they're making out from the Lampard chance, that's a half chance.
It's a hard chance. And that was rocky. Yeah. But you still expect an international football player to hit the target.
The other one, it was lovely play from, I think, Milner put it into box. Yep. And it was great work to get him into the position. The thing with him as well, he didn't shy away. He wanted the ball all the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
He was getting so much stick.
Missed those two chances. He then went and very unlucky in hitting the post.
Yeah.
To carve that one out. So he still wanted the ball. He still was getting into positions. And that's what you want to see.
I think in the first half particularly, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Lampard were a lot worse than Cleverley was.
Lampard got man of the match. First half, I don't think he touched the ball. Like, I didn't really see Lampard at all.
Got man of the match.
Well, did you see originally it was going to be Steven Gerrard?
Yeah, I know, yeah. And that was a shame, but
they had to change that.
Do you know what? I don't think, but honestly, I am the first to jump on the bandwagon for being critical of England and it being. But honestly, I thought it actually wasn't. Yeah. There were some actual real positives from that. We actually played some decent football.
There was we played better against them than we did in the Euros.
And we drew in the last set of qualifiers with Montenegro. And still got through very easily.
You see them twice. Do you think we'll qualify now?
Ukraine
we'll qualify?
Are a much better
it's been two
team
games. We've got 4 points from two games. What's the problem with that?
Montenegro and Poland drew 2-2, which helps out as well because it means we're still joint top of the league as well. But
did anyone watch the 5-0?
I did, yes.
I was
a joke
for the game.
I was on the
you
last.
Were there?
I was on the last because I'm a lad. And
banter.
Every time I went to the bar after and looked at the clock, 30 minutes played, 3-0 up. I was pretty shocked to be honest. But every time I went to the bar, which is quite often because I'm a lad, banter. Because I kept watching the footy and all I saw was Moldova just being embarrassingly bad.
But to be fair, I thought at times England, the touch on some of the players, certainly defenders, Terry and Johnson at times, was shocking. But
it's a hard place to go Moldova on a Friday night.
It's not like Stoke on a wet Tuesday.
No.
But you could tell that they just knew the game was won anyway, so it didn't really matter. And I don't think for a second it would have happened in a more.
And we did the job. We did the job. Yeah. And getting a +5 goal difference is not a bad start.
Leighton Baines scored a beautiful free kick.
Yeah.
Talking of good free kicks.
He played well. Go on.
Gareth Bale. Last night, great free kick. First goal in 2012, but
first goal under Cookie.
The thing is, they haven't scored for about 5 or 6 games, have they?
You couldn't even score past Scotland.
No, I was watching England game, sat on my sofa next to a Welshman who just got back from a 5-day holiday. Not in a very good mood anyway. Post holiday blues. Oh, he was seething. He was tweeting Coleman out. He hates him. He absolutely hates him. And going back to the weekend, Scotland 0, Serbia 0. The crowds, Scotland fans chanting for 20 minutes for League One's Jordan Rhodes.
Yeah.
I know he's in the Championship now, but he's done all of his scoring at League One.
Yeah.
They spent 20 minutes chanting for him to come on.
Yeah, but when the alternative's Kenny Miller, I think they.
But
one of the alternatives should be.
But as I say, but talking of striking alternatives, England were looking a bit
that's our weakest position.
With one nil down, and a Welbeck who's playing all right but not been great form this season so far.
Hope it makes people appreciate a fit Wayne Rooney.
Well, exactly, and an ill Daniel Sturridge, and you're thinking we're not
Crouch and Owen.
Yeah, I was going to tweet.
Emil Heskey's not doing much at the moment. He's still got his boots knocking.
But you see, Crouch is not in favour with Roy Hodgson because he refused to go on the standby list for the Euro 2012.
Okay. And same with Darren Bent.
Didn't know it was Darren Bent as well. He wouldn't have been fit. That could have been for fitness issues.
Well, Darren Bent
could legitimately said, "Look, I've played hardly any football. If he went to the Euros, got another injury. That's his."
That was the reason that Bent wasn't picked
originally
for this squad, was that he's not fit.
Right,
and that's why he wasn't called up subsequently.
I've got a bit of a naughty boy of the week, and it's to do with Darren Bent.
Okay,
for this one, and we'll go back to it.
So just quickly, going back to Scotland as well, Steve Fletcher. Oh, you want to do it now?
Oh, don't worry about it. I'll do it in a
minute. Steve Fletcher, basically, he's not in the team because he refused the Nations Cup. Was it called against Northern Ireland?
Yeah,
he refused the call up to that. I think it was on the back of when they played that naught up front formation. He was so disgusted. He said,
He didn't. I think he didn't actually text Craig Levein himself. He texted someone in the coaching staff and said, "Tell the gaffer."
Well, even texting was pretty bad.
Exactly.
You got to give him.
It's like breaking up with a bird over text message, isn't it?
But texting their mate as well.
Oh yeah, texting their mate. Yeah. Can you break up with her for
me? If you're a Scotland fan. You want him back in, surely.
Oh, yeah.
Levein has said, Levein gave him a window to apologise, and he didn't. So now Levine's like said, no, done. Not in the looking for.
What happened with, is it McLean?
James McLean.
Happened with them as well? All I've seen
he played very well last night, apparently.
Yeah, he apologised, and apparently...
Did he throw his toys out?
Relieved we've got the victory.
I don't know about this.
But, all right. So, against the game against...
0-0 against Serbia. Yeah.
No,
Kazakhstan for
the Republic of Ireland. Yeah,
okay. They won 2-1.
They were 1-0 down to Kazakhstan until the 89th minute when Robbie Keane scored a penalty, then Kevin Doyle scored the winner.
Really?
And then James McLean tweeted saying, "Believe we've got the result as a fan, but as a player, absolute shambles.
Complete farce." He said he was embarrassed to be left on the bench.
It was quickly deleted. Yeah. And he got a bit of a pasting from old. Yeah.
But then they came out and won 4-1 against Oman last night. So,
was that a friendly?
It was a friendly.
It was some sort of cup.
Yeah. They weren't playing because Jamaica were playing USA again in the Islands group, so they had to
back off. Okay, yeah.
But Ali Al-Habsi was probably the only player for Oman doing anything, pretty much.
Still scored.
Before we go on to your stand downs for the week, what do we make of a call up? So basically, called up Raheem Sterling. Livermore, who I don't know much about, Dan, and Lallana. Sterling's an interesting one. He basically came into the squad, wasn't going to play.
I think that's just an experience one. We should do it more with
Slash players. A political move to get him away from the Jamaican team, supposedly.
Yeah. I did hear that as well. But I mean, the lad's going to get into the England squad. He's not going to...
I think had we been winning towards the end, if we'd been, say, 2-0 up, I think he would have come on.
Do you reckon? Well, I'd be surprised.
To get the cap.
Gerard and Gareth Barry went to an England meetup before he made the team as well, when he was like 18 or 19.
Oh, yeah, Michael Dawson did.
And that's why they're really good mates, him and Gareth Barry.
Yeah,
quite interesting, just from Gerard's book.
In the past, it's been done
quite a lot as well. Like, I imagine getting on.
Yeah, and Gerard basically came out and said, "Look, we need to not build Sterling up too much, treat him as the kid he is," which is all apparent, but I mean, starting for Liverpool.
That's what made me laugh. In Twitter last night, a friend of ours was tweeting how Tom Cleverley was the most overrated player in the England team, and then his next tweet was, "I think it's time for Raheem Sterling to come on and change."
I called him up on that as well, didn't I? Because he was just talking nonsense, and you could just tell that was his Liverpool hat firmly on. And Alana's an interesting one as well. I found this out. He's played for England under 18s, under 19s, and under 21s. He's got one cap for each of them. That's
it.
Yeah.
No way, I would have thought he'd played more for the under 21s.
No?
He's really good player.
One cap for each, under 18s, under 19s.
Seems to have been about for ages as well.
I swear he was about 48.
Yeah. But what's the bet he comes on, makes one appearance, and then that's it for his England career?
I like the fact that apparently the gaffer phoned him up, and it took him about 10 minutes.
Yeah, he kept saying, "You're joking.
This is a wind up. You're in the team.
Interesting as well. A lot has been made about him coming through the same ranks through the Southampton team. He was at Bournemouth originally.
Yeah.
I think he was quite young. He left at like sort of 12, 13. But I mean, that's still a bit of your football upbringing at another club.
Yeah.
And they paid £3,000 for him when he transferred. He's now an England international.
Yeah. I reckon but they wish they put a little. And pay that.
Yeah, we could have bought a young Adam Lallana. You're right. You are bang right. All right. So stand out performance or stand down performance, Dan?
Stand out performance. I'm sure you got Brazil spanking.
Oh, I've not seen this.
It was a friendly, international friendly.
Oh, 8-0.
8-0, which is pretty impressive, really.
I think, but Wales, wasn't it?
They were
playing.
Yeah. the other possible one, Serbia. But no, but I just think it's purely for one moment of genius, and that was Papi Cissé at the weekend. It was Senegal against Ivory Coast.
You were saying about this.
Was it African Cup of Nations or was it World
African Cup of Nations?
African Cup of Nations, yeah. They ended up losing 4-2 to Ivory Coast. But at 1-1, Papi Cissé, the right back, I think, or right winger, has got the ball on the halfway line and he's put a 40-yard.
You weren't sure whether it was him or Demba Ba for a while.
No, I kept getting the name wrong because I kept saying the Papi bit.
No, you told me the story and you changed the names about three times.
Yeah.
You told me it was Darren Bent.
It was definitely Cissé. The ball's been pinged over for about 40 yards and Cissé's running towards goal, watching the ball as it comes over his shoulder, and from 25 yards out, he's powered a header. Bear in mind, it's behind him, and he's put the force of it to go forward. The neck muscle's incredible. He's powered a header from 25 yards out into the top left-hand corner. I mean, unbelievable header. And he's pretty much on the place erupted, as you can imagine it, now in Africa. And he's done about sort of half a lap of honour. And I'd have kept going. It was a ridiculous header. I'll get the footage up on the podcast. It was brilliant. But that header deserved my performance.
So Cissé is your standout.
Yeah,
any standout for you?
Standout wise, it's got to be Wales, isn't it? It's got to be Wales, really.
Coleman in particular, or?
Coleman should stand down,
I think a lot of Welsh fans probably want to stand down.
He's come out and said he's embarrassed by the result.
Of course, the point where Welsh fans last night were wanting to score a couple more, so it's a worse result, so the FAW Chiefs might actually do it.
To be fair, he's got to thank Chris Job, Coleman, because he's coming in very, very popular.
He has got to thank Chris Job, but he's not very good either.
Yeah.
No, it just doesn't help him.
But then who else is there for Wales?
Well, as I say, it's good to have a, as I've always said as well, and we've always said, I want a proud Englishman to be the English manager. They want a proud Welshman to be the Welsh manager. And
they ain't going to pay enough, are they?
Who else?
Tony Pulis or someone like that is not going to leave. It's not like
Mark Hughes won't go back. Well, he might go back now, but I wouldn't have thought he would.
It is a tough one for him. It is a tough one unless they want to go for a foreign manager, really. Yeah. But
Schultz, stand down.
I'm going for Colombia for stand out.
Fair enough. You've already explained that. Yeah, that's cool. Stand down.
Yeah, Chris Coleman.
Chris Coleman specifically, not Wales, Coleman.
Well, I think he's just come out and he said some ridiculous things in the press. I'm going to put this quote on the website, it's ridiculous, but I can't remember it now. But yeah.
Good, yeah, great.
Yeah, I love it when people say things like that.
Yeah, I'm going to put this quote on the website. I don't know
what
it is.
I've got a really, really funny story to tell you. I can't remember what it is now, but I've got a really funny story to tell you.
Watch out for it.
Mike?
Stand out. I'm going to go for the minnows in European football, Luxembourg, who...
23 places above Northern Ireland.
They are, but they are a country about the size of Stuart Hall. And on Friday night, they went 1-0 up ahead over Portugal, eventually lost 2-1
thanks
to Bastiga and Ronaldo.
Portugal struggled last night as well, didn't they?
Yeah, well...
Spain only snicked to a 1-0 win the other night as well, didn't they?
And then last night they managed to get a draw at Windsor Park. In recent years as well, they've beaten Switzerland. They've picked up a few points, and for such a small country, they actually seem to know what they're doing. And a couple of countries that could learn from that, from my stand down, are basically the home nations. With the exception, I suppose, of England, simply because we did win a game, but Scotland drawing at home to Macedonia. Yeah. I mean, that for me, that is their hopes of qualifying over. Wales, obvious reasons. Northern Ireland, very tough. Going to Russia, they only lost 2-0, although apparently it should have been a lot more. And then drawn at home to Luxembourg, who are a country the size of Stuart Hall.
Wales have got a tough group, haven't they?
They have got quite a tough
group. There's a few tough groups out there.
Do you know Wales are actually rated higher in the rankings than Belgium?
Really?
The problem for Wales was when the groups were drawn, because it's done on FIFA ranking,
they were in pot six,
so they were in the bottom, so they got a really hard group.
Then they went
on that run of form, and had they waited 2 months to draw it, they would have been in pot three.
And they would have avoided all the difficulties.
So,
and Scotland have done themselves in, because they needed at least 4 points out of those two games, didn't they?
I mean, Macedonia should be the whipping boys of that group along with Wales. And
I'm sorry, but
yeah, I've noticed.
I'm sure there's a reason why Jim's got a little newspaper clipping clipped to the part of his thing, but it's folded over at the moment, and all I've got is XXX babes, X girls rated 36B, adult chat, sexy mature ladies, and then lady boys. Jim, what are you doing?
Lady boys.
There is a reason it's there, but we'll get to that in a minute. Thanks for noticing. There was some league football at the weekend, fellas.
Who cares? I don't mean it, Jim.
I was going to jump in. I was going to say it's fine. Not many people do, I suppose. But I'm going to just give you a little overview of what happened.
I don't suppose.
In terms of standouts, Brentford got another win, 1-0 at home to Colchester, and our man scored again. Kissed the coin. Got 88th minute winner.
What's his name?
Juve Rosters, the manager there. He's doing a really, really good job. Saw an interesting interview with him because he had to battle cancer about 2 years ago as well.
And he
came from a quite a high profile job where he was to just have another crack at English football. First crack in terms of management. But it was at Brentford.
A colleague of ours, a big Brentford fan, and he's very confident for the season.
Well, he was applying for a lot of jobs, and then he got a break because someone who knew the Brentford owner said, "Oh, you should give Juve Rosters a chance." Got him in for an interview, and they're really impressed with him. So they're doing really well. They're up into like fifth or sixth place now as well. Swindon lost at home to Leighton Orient. Lee Cook scored as well. Cracking goal.
Was it 4-1 they lost or something?
No, 1-0 at home. It's the first time they've lost at home since right at the back end, about a year basically, right at the back end of
Lee
last
Cook,
season.
The winger,
QPR. And Martin Ronan is also.
Ronan
is playing for him as well. Great win for them. Now, Yeovil 0, Bournemouth 1. Significant because Yeovil were top of the league, Bournemouth hadn't got a win, and Harry Redknapp's back. Have you ever seen this as a consultant? Advisory role,
He just needed somewhere where they could sit in his car outside the training ground.
It's his home, isn't it? That's where he lives.
He knows Paul Groves, who's the Bournemouth boss, pretty well. I think Paul Groves was playing for him when he was manager, something like that. And he went on the team coach as well, so he's had some sort of input. Their first win of the season, cracking free kick as well from the guy who scored that.
For Bournemouth as well, it's got to be a good little morale booster to have Redknapp in the camp, isn't it? It's got to.
Although these things often end in tears.
Yeah, quite often. But I don't think
it's one of those. Yeah. It's not where you brought in someone like Clive Woodward at Southampton.
Or a manager that's got ambitions on the actual overall
You wouldn't have thought. Kevin Keegan at Fulham was a famous one where he basically engineered Ray Wilkins out the door.
Barnet 1, Gillingham 3. Another win for my boys, top of the league. Dion Burton played very well. About 50% of the crowd as well. We had about 1,300 fans there. There was only about 2,600, 2,500 there as well. Morecambe 0, Fleetwood 4. Do you remember John Parkin?
John Parkin's the beast.
Scored a hat trick. Yeah.
He's at Fleetwood.
The Beast, aka The Beast. Yeah, Fleetwood Town.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember him?
How big is he now?
He was at Preston, then he was at Cardiff most recently. Okay. I don't think he's got much bigger because you can't really get
small fella,
much bigger.
Is he?
The Beast. It's not one of those ironic nicknames. Him and Bayo Akinfenwa up front would be amazing. And then the last one of note, Port Vale 6, Rotherham 2, which was a phenomenal result. It was 4-1 at half time. It's standout performance. Tom Pope, 4 goals. Used to play for Rotherham, got released, playing at Port Vale, scored 4 goals against them. Mickey Ellams said that he's been cutting down on the bees, and an actual quote from Mickey Ellams: he has a questionable lifestyle, he likes a pint. Which I was like, what a fucking
rad. So if we just stop doing this, we could play for Port Vale.
Pretty much, we can still carry on with the pints, that's fine.
Questionable lifestyle as well.
Coventry played live on Sky on the Sunday. They lost 2-1 at home to Stevenage. It was their lowest crowd ever for a league game at the Ricoh Arena.
It's getting lower and lower.
Well, it was a cup game, I think, it was when we mentioned it. But they had Richard Shaw, who's like a club legend there, in charge. And I really thought that might motivate him. The crowd were turning behind him. I got a Cov mate. They were like, right, we really want him to get the job. And they bottled it and lost 2-1. Tom Pope, stand down, Coventry. For a standout, we put Andy Burnham in there as well. For the Hillsborough stuff, everything's coming out to that way. Right, move on. Venice, we'll chuck some other news in there.
I've got an interesting one. Jens Lehmann, Mad Jens, everyone's favourite goalkeeper.
The Ukraine goalkeeper looked exactly like Jens Lehmann last night.
Well, it wasn't him, although I wish that was the story, Jens Lehmann sneaking on the pitch.
Playing for Ukraine, yeah.
But he's hoping to win his first major international tournament at Rio 2016 Olympics or Paralympics.
Yeah.
Because he is hoping...
I always thought he was blind.
Well, funny you should say that, because he's hoping to be the goalkeeper for the blind five-a-side team.
Oh, you don't have to be blind, though.
The goalkeepers aren't blind. They've only got to stay in the area. So he's suggested it. The German...
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is Dan Silver sure? Hashtag learn to describe better.
Sorry.
Shall we move on to that?
No,
go on.
No.
Go on, mate.
But the German Paralympic Association are basically looking into whether a former goalkeeper like him or Oliver Kahn could play for the team, which I actually feel quite bad for the lads who will have been playing for them all the time.
Yeah.
Behind them. But it'll be very interesting to see. I'd love to see Maddie Ends at the Paralympics.
That could be a publicity. Dan, have you got any stories? And if you do, can you please describe them pretty well? for people that don't know, basically... Colin Gilmore, one of our listeners, I presume. I don't know if he still listens. Because
can I point out that he is a gooner?
Yeah, he's an Arsenal fan.
Funny that.
And he likes a lot of American sports. Well, he's got about 18 American
Maybe
teams.
Maybe he's American.
Possibly.
He likes pride.
Nothing
as well.
Worse. An American Arsenal fan. What's your excuse?
So Dan was talking about a clip the other day, and he said that the guy kicked the floor, and this guy just went.
No, I said it was an air shot.
It was an air shot. This guy just went. He was not happy.
He
was like, no,
he kicked
the floor. No, we haven't talked
only
about it.
Only in that nightmare you had, where then the next minute you were naked as well, sat in here.
So this guy started the hashtag learn to describe better.
Probably the
and
worst.
You didn't take it very well, though, did you?
And you're a lad, so you know a lot about banter.
A lot of that.
And I didn't really help by just replying, yeah, Dan, and then he started using the hashtag as well.
I was in a bad mood anyway, I can't remember what it was. Was that Thursday night? Oh yeah, I was at home, I was in a bad mood, and I thought, I'm not having this.
I really hope that he does an iTunes review just of that hashtag.
Learn to describe better. Well,
and Dan, while I'm with you, can I just ask you a question as well?
Certainly.
It's a very specific question to the three of us around this table.
Right.
It's four of us.
Well, no, the three of us. I'm asking it to Dan.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, right, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Then you're not in the us.
No, Dan.
No, the answer is specific to us. What does it matter? are any of these your mum? I've got a picture. You told us your mum was in Pants People. I've got a picture of Pants People, and all of these six
Isn't that it?
No, that's not.
Is that not?
No,
and none of
it. That's not Pants People.
It is.
No, it's not.
I think they were an interchangeable line.
They were, yeah.
Pants People
in 1978.
It wasn't always. They weren't around in 1978.
They clearly were. Maybe your
mum.
Learn
to describe that. Daniel, come on.
They weren't around in 1978.
They clearly were.
There was a picture of him in the Evening Standard.
Wrong. No,
the Evening Standard would never get anything.
Papers don't lie.
Wrong. That's hot gossip. That's hot gossip. Sorry,
how do you know that's hot gossip?
Because they were around in. Because they formed after. Pants People finished about 1976.
How do you know so much about hot gossip?
It's my mum. I love my mummy.
Is that your mum's nickname?
If your mum looked as fit as
my
any of those.
Is not Pans People.
I would love all
that
of
is not Pans People. They've got that wrong. They've actually got that
one
wrong.
One on the... she's my favourite.
Anyway, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that.
Can you just bring us a picture in?
Yeah, no worries.
Bring us a picture of your mum in 1978 and your mum now, just so we can get an idea.
Thanks, mate.
Laminated.
Just be glad your mum doesn't listen to the show.
Right, you naughty, naughty boys.
Okay.
Leave me alone.
Fine. Right, any other news?
Nice. No, I've naughty boys.
Go on in, let's crack on.
I've got a few of them.
I've got a couple.
I've got a few of them.
Well.
Right, I'm going to go. Well, I'll start off with. It's not Darren Bent, but it's Darren Bent's cousin.
Okay.
Darren Bent's cousin, PC Richard Bent. I mean, this is.
I saw this.
This is
really
naughty.
I would just say I'm very disappointed that the headline wasn't Bent Copper.
It probably should be. PC Richard Bent, Darren's cousin, has been charged with the theft and theft of cash and jewellery from victims of crime who have died. It's shocking. Yeah, like he's in a lot of trouble. And he claimed, Darren Bent has been questioned, because originally he claimed that the expensive gifts and jewellery were given to him by his rich cousin, Darren.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So he stitched his cousin
Brent
right
came
up.
Out, came out straight away and said, no.
Nothing to do with me. And it was, to be fair, but yeah, so it's terrible, really. I'm just talking about bad press for the old Bill. That's it. The policeman has been charged with theft of jewellery, which is terrible, really. I have another one on a lighter
note. Have you got any more terrible ones?
No, I've got one more on a lighter note.
I've got one quite terrible one.
I've got a couple of quite terrible ones.
You've got to tell me, does this count as a naughty boy? I'm not too sure. It's not that naughty, I suppose.
It's just the naughtiest boy ever.
Goldie fed his lover to dogs.
Bruno, the flamingo.
Yeah, the bed.
He's the face trial accused of torturing and murdering his mistress and feeding her to his dogs. Bruno Fernandez de Souza. He hired a hitman to help him kill Eliza Samudio.
Samuidu.
That'll do. After she claimed he had fathered her baby.
Yeah.
Who does he play for? I've only got
Flamingo.
He's actually Flamingo.
He actually played for.
He played in goal. He was
25 year old now.
He tipped to play for the Brazilian national team.
Jesus.
He met her at an orgy, apparently, arranged
as
by one of his teammates.
Please say it's Neymar.
No, it wasn't Neymar.
Well, I was hoping it was Silvio Berlusconi.
Then him, along with seven other people, are accused of her kidnapped, torture, and then cutting her up into bits.
It makes the blood run cold.
Yeah. Along with his own wife. His own wife was there, apparently, after he fathered the baby, and then he persuaded his own wife to adopt that baby, pretend it was their own, given to him by a poor relative, and meanwhile, like a couple of months beforehand, him, and a few other people.
Definitely a naughty boy. We're definitely.
I think it's a bit more than a naughty boy, to be fair.
No. Yeah. And if we're going to go on that one, it's the terrible news of. I mean, I'm going to finish on some much more light-hearted.
Okay.
But have you got the info on the young lad?
No, I thought
it was a bit more than a naughty boy.
Terrible news. But anyway, so. Let's
some more light-hearted.
Javi Martinez, the rumours. Have you heard the rumours about Javi Martinez?
No.
Supposedly...
Bayern Munich midfielder?
Yeah,
just gone from Bilbao.
Just gone from Bilbao, right? There's rumour, has it? It hasn't been confirmed. But I really hope it's true. That supposedly, because his transfer was so last minute, he left a load of his gear at the training ground.
What, gear as in...
No, not gear.
As in what an English footballer might use.
Not gear, no. Yeah. As in his boots, kit, all that sort of, a lot of his personal stuff at the training ground. Knowing how much he's now hated for bailing on Bilbao, he decided that...
Bailing on Bilbao.
There you go. He supposedly snuck into the Bilbao training ground at 2 o'clock in the morning to nick his stuff back. Security guard saw him jump a little fence trying to get in. Security guard thought he was breaking in, went over to nick him, but realised it was Javi Martinez. Martinez asked him to open the door if he could just get his stuff and sneak in, sneak out. But he's been caught. It's been completely refuted by everyone, including Martinez, but I really hope it's true.
I really hope the security guard said no, you can't get it. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Quick one from me on Naughty Boys, Paolo Di Canio. He's done it again. Obviously, we talked about the West Front of you.
It's not going to end well at Swindon, is
they it? Lost 1-0 in a Joseph Payne Trophy game against Oxford. On the back of it, Oxford, massive rivals. It's a really big game for the fans and the players. But one of their defenders, 23-year-old, made a mistake which led to the only goal, and he came out and said, he said the 23-year-old mind was elsewhere. Direct quotes: Flint came in tonight as he was on holiday, and this is not acceptable. He has to take
acceptable.
He has to take the responsibility. We lost because of him.
Oh,
23.
Yeah, blaming him for the defeat.
Yeah, and I read an interview with Paul Caddis as well. Obviously, Liam Clark left in Ackermary circumstances. Paul Caddis was their captain. He just absolutely slammed him. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Anyone else?
Yep, got a couple more. Sean Morrison, Reading centre back, got nicked by police for taking a piss outside the Ritz Hotel.
Learn to describe better.
Yeah.
Go on, tell me the story, and then I'm going to tell you why it's not true.
Okay.
That's like your mum being like, I'm going to tell you off in exactly like, 5 minutes.
You are a bad
yourself.
Dog.
It's a C-minus, then.
Yeah. Okay, well, according to
the Sun.
According
to the Sun.
Yeah. He had been thrown out of...
And as we know, topically, the Sun have never carried anything that's not
exactly
the truth, have they?
No. Been thrown out of the pub after a boozy night out with friends. A source said Sean was completely blitzed. The bouncers in Aura threw him out and told him to go home, but he didn't get the message. He started staggering around the streets, waving his willy around and urinating in front of anyone who cared to see.
Okay. Was he hanging around with you and the rest of the lads, Stan?
Nah, not me,
mate. Apparently, he was taken to nearby Charing Cross Police Station and fined £80.
And shortly after that, the defender himself tweeted, just to clear this up, I wasn't waggling my willy about last night. It was almost two weeks ago and it wasn't at the Ritz, it was in an alleyway. The world's busiest policeman just wanted to make me make the big man take an offence.
I mean, if I saw Sean Morrison, I'd recognise him and arrest him.
I like the fact he apologised. I apologise to the pretend people who didn't see me pee against the Ritz. I like the fact he's given an apology to the people that don't exist.
I like the fact that he's ended that statement with lol.
Yeah, which definitely wasn't the case.
Lol.
Oh, okay, God. Fair play.
Right, I'll come back to me and I'm going back to you again.
Right, to me, to you.
Remember the other week I was telling you about the fans outside of the hotel room?
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was now. It's very bad of me. I'm sorry. But it's happened again.
It was in somewhere in Scandinavia, wasn't it? Sweden?
No, you're absolutely right. It's happened again. In Panama. It was Canada against Panama in a World Cup qualifier. And outside the Canadian team hotel, a load of Panama fans decided to have a massive festival at midnight with fireworks, sirens, horns, you name it, kept them up till stupid o'clock in the morning. It seems to be a bit of a trend at the moment. So, Panama fans, naughty, naughty boys.
Yeah, a couple more fans. Peruvian fans pelted the Argentinian team bus with stones.
Whenever I Peruvian...
And apparently they chanted at Messi, Cristiano.
Yeah.
Nice.
Was Nobby Solano Peruvian?
Yes.
Whenever I hear Peru football, I just think of Nobby Solano with his trumpet.
Yeah.
Him and Sonia Jackson doing a duet. Yeah.
You got that one?
Yes, I do.
There's been a lot of naughty boys.
Yeah, loads. Young Manchester United prospect Luke McCulloch, captain of your academy squad, is that right?
Yeah.
He was arrested for allegedly having sex with a blonde teenage girl in a doorway.
I read this, but I love the way they put, he had sex with a blonde teenage girl. The kid's just 19, she's 18. Don't make it sound like it's worse than it is.
And to be honest, at least he put a blonde. Oh, he's done all right then. At least it wasn't a ginger.
Yeah, the lad.
But I can just imagine Alex Ferguson going up to him saying, oh, you, and ruffling his hair. Get along, boy. You scamp.
Right, I've got one. I'm now
how
really
many
not sure.
Boys that we have in?
Well, okay, the last, because they're all funny. This one's really
funny. Oh, yeah, they're all funny.
Oh, okay, not all funny. I didn't mean
Brazilians
all funny.
Killing a woman and feeling okay, fucking hilarious, Dan.
Banter.
Just learn to describe better or
something. Sorry, mate. Well, now, I can't work out whether... This is a naughty girl, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I can't work out whether she's a naughty girl or a good girl. Right? This is a favourite of the show, Richard Kingston.
She's our first ever naughty girl.
Yes. No, she's a very good girl.
Well, or is she? Shawnee Miller. Ooh. No,
naughty girl.
No, we have had naughty girls. One with the tits out. Remember the cranium processes. The naughty girl. Right, so there's contrasting reports, right? Supposedly, she was on Nigerian TV claiming she used to use black magic to sabotage Richard Kingston's career and make him impotent.
Well, the black ball.
Richard Kingston. So he was pretty bad.
Adelaide Tawia.
I was going to say, it wasn't a great Premier League goal.
Adelaide Tawia.
Why is he a good girl if she's done this?
Hang on. Okay, alright. So this is the bad girl stuff. Supposedly, Adelaide Tawia said her evil powers were used to make Kingston's life a misery between the sticks and between the sheets. She said, this is on Nigerian TV, she said, I messed up Richard's life ever since we got married. I used my evil powers to trouble his career. I've been working on him spiritually to the point he could not perform in bed. Right. So he's then put on Facebook, my wife is not a witch. Right, and she has then backtracked recently and said that since the show was broadcast, she said it was an evil spirit cast out by TV preacher TV Joshua talking and not her.
I hate it when TV Joshua does that.
So she says she can't even remember what took place. Right, so
he was that impotent, I doubt many women would remember.
She said she's not a witch, as it's been rumoured. Husband knows how inspirational I've been to him throughout his goalkeeping career. Right. So this is all, this is the naughty point, right? So supposedly she's a witch and such about. The good girl part is supposedly that Rick Kingston was offered.
It's a long story.
It is, but it's a good story. $300,000. Sorry if I'm boring you, Jim. You actually look like falling asleep. $300,000 to throw a game in a World Cup match in 2006 against the Czech Republic. But
wasn't that keeper of the blog you put on the site, was it? Need the ball into his own net.
No, that was good. They threw it in.
I'm not entirely sure.
Supposedly, learn to describe that.
Supposedly, it was it was his wife.
Learn to tell stories better.
That told him that. Not to, even though he was really tempted.
I've no idea what's going on now.
Listen then, even though it was no one.
Just give me a quick summary, because right. I did switch off, I've got to be honest.
Right. Supposedly, she caused, used black magic to ruin his career and make him impotent, but on the plus side, she prevented him from throwing a game because she said, I love you, not because of your money, so don't get tempted by this offer to lose your dignity and credibility.
Yeah. Okay, so she made him a good...
She might be evil, but she...
But that's only when she's possessed by TV Joshua's naughty spirits.
Yeah. Either way, she's mental, isn't she? Yeah. I think we can fairly establish that.
Just maybe.
I've got one last naughty boy. He's a naughty twat is what he is. Steve Evans, who I hate completely. Six match stadium ban. Not a ban from the technical area.
Actually,
stadium. Not a touchline ban, a stadium ban. He's such a toad, they've banned him from the stadium for six games and fined $3,000. And this was in the aftermath of the Bradford brawl.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know exactly what he did.
It was pre the actual brawl, wasn't it? He made some comments to
he'd done abusive and insulting words and behaviour to in reference to a gender. Yeah,
it was a female member of staff.
And no one really knows what. Well, no one. People do know what he does. He did exactly. He
exposed himself.
That's what you'd think. Something like that. Something so severe.
He's got a bit of previous.
On our crib sheet, Jim, there's a quote here about Steve Evans. Is that an actual direct quote from someone?
Or is that just your opinion?
No, it's just my opinion of him. I didn't call him Steve Evans. I called him Steve Fat Something Something Evans.
Yeah.
I thought that was a direct quote for something.
Yeah, well, it should be. I have got a quote from him, though. On the Rotherham United Club website, he said, I'm very disappointed by the decision. However, for the good of Rotherham, I accept the verdict and will move on with no further comment.
That's good of you.
For the good of Rotherham, or because you're guilty and you're a toad. Yeah. One or the other, you're twat.
I've got a tiny slight down.
I don't like Steve Evans.
No. I have got one other little standout performance that I didn't mention, which I'll get the video up as well. It's David Beckham's acting.
What was he acting
in? Oh, it's absolutely atrocious. So it's a...
He looked pretty bad. Do you remember the Olympics? He was bad acting on that boat.
Oh, mate.
It's a, remember
it's,
that?
I didn't even say anything.
It's a promo for the new NFL season, and it's a comedian, Rob Riggle. He's a...
American.
Right, and he's doing...
Did anyone see the photo that was doing the rounds on the social media this week about NFL... being called football.
Oh yeah, this
football
is real.
Hand egg.
Did you
see that? It was a person playing football. They pointed to the ball and said ball. Pointed to his foot and said foot. So football. Then it had a picture of an American footballer. They pointed to his hand and said hands, and the ball and said egg. So they actually call it hand egg. I quite like it.
So it's Rob Riggle going around this massive mansion. Rob Riggle, good name. Going around this massive mansion, like doing out a preview to the NFL. And then going in someone's bedroom.
Is this the Richard Kingston story again?
No. And it cut off about 2 minutes in. David Beckham comes onto screen. He goes, he's like, oh, he's Rob, what are you doing? He's like,
oh no.
He's like, mate, it's terrible. I'll get the video up. He's like, oh no, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm at a footballer's house, you know, doing a good preview. He went, yeah, you are at a footballer's house. My house. And he's like, no. A real footballer. And he went, I am a real footballer. And
you'd think he'd be good at acting, given that he's been portraying the character of a happily married man for so long. Sorry.
It is absolutely atrocious. And it's literally like... Oh, I can't even describe how painful it is watching, but I'll get it up on the site. It's absolutely shocking.
Good stuff.
Do you know what I'm really upset about, by the way?
The length of your stories.
No.
Length of something else?
Maybe.
I'm really upset that in this entire show of 52 minutes, no one has mentioned someone with the name Clive. Because...
Clive Mendonca.
No one said it. Because you know what? You know, last year only 4 children in the UK were named Clive.
Really?
I think that's a really sad fact.
Has that got to do with
nothing?
Oh, okay.
Nothing.
Well, Stuart Hawes got one on the way. I know it's going to be a girl, but
just call it Clive.
I just found that really upsetting.
Yeah. It's slightly other news. Del Piero to Sydney.
Oh yeah.
Thoughts on that? It's actually happened now. Liverpool came in at the last.
Signed.
Someone was tweeting the podcast account asking, "Has it got much coverage?" I said, "A-League gets no coverage."
None.
The Del Piero signing got a little bit. On Sky Sports because, but only because because Liverpool came in and tried to snatch him as well, because his agent. Celtic were as well, didn't know that. But yeah, I think that's a deal. Be interesting to see if it attracts anyone else over to the league as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's quite
the wage cap's going to will probably mean that if they do get anyone, it's got to be all down to endorsements or what have you anyway. So
yeah.
But there you go, that off a tweet we just received. Right, two things, because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
First of all, someone's asked me to give a shout out to this. When he asked me, I think he said it's for charity, and I'm hoping he wasn't lying. I'm fairly sure he's not. It's an evening with Jeff Stennin and Sky Sports, basically. Sky Sport presenters, sorry. You know the Gillette Soccer Saturday Live with like Jeff Stennin? They're doing like a round the country tour.
Okay.
UK Arena Tour, Bournemouth, London, Liverpool, Newcastle and Birmingham, starting 19th March to the 8th of June. Tickets are on livenation.co.uk. It's basically Jeff Stelling, Manatee, Merson, Thompson, all those guys.
I think that's
together.
When it originally started, because that says the 19th of March to the 8th of June 2012, so I think there'll be no tickets left.
Go on to Live Nation. It's still going on because he gave me the link for it anyway. But and at the end, Paul Merson apparently comes on and tells you how he was a really good football manager at Walsall. So it's worth going just for that.
Yeah.
But check Live Nation for tickets. Yeah. And then finally from me, we've got another review.
Is it good? Yeah.
Oh,
that's all right.
People are just doing it to get shout outs, I'm pretty sure.
I reckon every one of them is Firas.
Possibly. Great list and 5 stars from Believe in the Champions. I only put it up a few days ago.
I guess he's a United fan, seeing as it's got a 19.
19.
Yes.
Yep,
good lad.
Yep. A great listen for me. I've loved the podcast for the last 4 to 5 months. Where have you been? It's show 96. You can get them on the back burner. They're all on iTunes. Loved the podcast for the last 4 or 5 months, and I can't get enough of it, as it's full of very funny people who obviously know their football. And if I could, I would rate it higher than 5 stars. Keep up the good work, lads. Cheers for that, Mike.
He's listening to the wrong podcast.
Exactly.
Very funny. People who obviously know their football.
Okay. To be fair, you know that's not me, because I would have called everyone but me a twat.
Yeah, well, listen, some of us know a bit about football and some of us are funny, but I don't think there's anyone that's the two, to be honest. But there we go. But anyway, 5 stars. Keep
coming. A lot of us are neither.
If anything, most all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of us can't even talk, hey, Stuart? There you go.
Right,
anything else before I do a roundup?
No, please God, no.
Good. Oh, come on. Hulk Horts will be back next week. And we'll also do a Mirror Fantasy Football update as well, for sure. Next week. Go on to the website, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. Few blogs on there from Sean this week. There'll be a couple more from Dan Silver.
I'm not going to put up that Chris Coleman quote either, don't you?
No, yeah, think about that one. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/dfootballpodcast. All complaints.
At Simon Head.
And follow us on Twitter. That's where you get all our updates, all our shows, everything you need. Most important thing, @footballpodcast. Cheers, guys.
Don't worry. Next week, I'll have another 10-minute story about Richard Kingston's wife.
Good. And last word today, RIP and justice for the 96.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.